You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. This is your WGBW Daily News Roundup for the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Shawnee County Sheriff's Office says 16-year-old Ayana Mendez has been found safe. You may remember we reported yesterday that Mendez has been missing since February 16th. Officials say she was located Wednesday afternoon. No other details have been shared. Even school children can affect change. Crosswalks are essential for any pedestrian crossing, but especially near schools where children are biking and walking. The City of Green Bay recently installed flashing beacons at 48 crosswalks throughout the city. One was supposed to be at the corner of Eliza and Webster Street. However, a group of students at Aldo Leopold conducted their own research and presented their findings to the city. Students mostly used an intersection a block to the south of there. Due to their efforts, Public Works Director Steve Grenier and the city changed the location of the flashing beacon to Emily and South Webster Streets. More crosswalk improvements are planned this summer to include driver feedback signs. Earlier this month, we found out that over 500 Joann Fabric stores nationwide would close, including the one in Oshkosh. Now we learn that all of them will close. The company declared bankruptcy last month. This week, after the company was sold at auction, the buyers announced plans to liquidate all stores and stock, including the stores in Grand Chute and Green Bay. It's unclear how many people will be losing their jobs. Joann has been in operation for over 80 years, but slow sales and staffing troubles have forced it into bankruptcy twice in the past year. Wisconsin has officially joined the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Milk Testing Strategy. The program is meant to track bird flu through raw milk samples as the highly contagious virus continues to spread across the country. Officials are still working to determine how and when testing will be conducted. The virus has not yet been detected in Wisconsin's dairy cows, but has appeared in a few bird flocks. Barron County also saw the first human case of bird flu in the state just weeks ago after a worker came into contact with an infected flock. The bird flu has claimed another wild flock. This time, it was ducks in Little Chute. About 90 dead mallards were removed from a storm pond Wednesday. The DNR took several samples and said the birds' deaths were caused by the avian or bird flu. The ducks were disposed of at a landfill. After extensive opposition, the Shawnee County Board rejected a $20 wheel tax proposal yesterday. Wheel taxes, which usually range from $10 to $40 per vehicle per year, fund road repairs. The wheel tax would have been collected with the vehicle registration to the state. 13 of Wisconsin's 72 counties have a wheel tax, as do 38 municipalities. The city of Shawnee added a $40 wheel tax last year, and this would have been in addition to it. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is fearful of what the Trump administration policies might mean for Wisconsin. Evers commented to the Wisconsin Counties Association's annual legislative conference in Madison on Tuesday and said there's, quote, no question that tariffs are going to negatively impact Wisconsin's economy. Evers and other governors from around the nation met with President Trump at the White House last week. Evers said what was supposed to be a 20-minute discussion ended up lasting an hour and a half. The Democratic governor said that while the president is, quote, an amazing human being in a lot of ways, he continues to be concerned about the direction the administration is taking. Two Little Chute High School counselors have been recognized for positively impacting their school's communities. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction announced that Lisa Gretz and Michelle Mokritsky were awarded a Program of Excellence Award for showing exemplary dedication, determination, knowledge, and systems thinking to ensure that every student has access and opportunity. This was the first year that the Program of Excellence Award has been given. Another counselor in Elk Mound was also recognized. Education consultant Brittany Kinzer is moving on to April's general election following last week's second-place primary finish for state superintendent of public instruction. On a call with reporters recently, Kinzer said standards have been lowered under incumbent Jill Underley. Underley has defended the changes she's made to the DPI test standards, saying she's committed to advocating for better local public schools so every kid can get the best education. Kinzer and Underley will be on the April 1st ballot. In his budget, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is proposing a new office to oversee the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. $2 million of his proposed two-year budget would be used to create an 11-person ombudsperson's office. The office would be tasked with investigating complaints about the status of corrections facilities, as well as instances of abuse, unfair acts, or violation of rights. Prison reform activists have repeatedly called for such an office, but some Republican lawmakers have pushed back on its potential structure. The Neville Public Museum is hosting the 110th Green Bay Art Colony Exhibition through March 9th. The Art Colony was founded back in 1915 and is the oldest art organization in Green Bay, says Neville Public Museum Director Beth Kowalski.
The Green Bay Art Colony, which was the Green Bay Art Club, is the origins of the Neville Public Museum. So 1915, when we started, it was all about the Green Bay Art Colony. It was to bring the world to Green Bay, and they hosted different exhibitions. And so it's been a continuous program from our old building to our new building. It's a practicing contemporary group of women, and it's a phenomenal show.
The exhibit features 41 pieces from 23 local artists. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
The Packers willing to trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where it's been reported the Packers are taking offers to trade away defensive back Jair Alexander. He was a first-round pick for the Pack in 2018. Green Bay has not drafted a receiver in the first round in over 20 years. Why not? GM Brian Gutekunst.
You know, it's funny. It's never been like a philosophical thing we've talked about through my time in Green Bay. It's never been something, hey, like we don't want to take wide receivers in the first round. There are certainly opportunities we've had. We thought that was going to happen, and for whatever reason, it didn't. But at the same time, we've had a lot of second-round receivers that have been pretty good players for us.
NBA, the Bucks face the Denver Nuggets tonight at Fiserv Forum. Brooke Lopez on defending Denver center Nikola Jokic.
You know, I'll be on the point of the attack a bit, doing my job, just try to be physical with him, make things as difficult as possible as you can for him, and trusting I got my teammates behind me.
That's the Bucks' Brooke Lopez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. We all have our image of suit-clad Frank Sinatra holding a cigarette and a glass of whiskey while crooning iconic songs. If actor James Marsden has his way, he would love to play Sinatra in a film that shows the singer's darker and more tortured side, according to the New York Post. The 51-year-old Marsden has always been a fan and says a role similar to what Jamie Foxx did when he played Ray Charles would be perfect for a movie about Sinatra. Admirable intentions, but I can't even imagine how many actors would be lined up to play Frank Sinatra. Marsden can currently be seen in the Hulu show Paradise. According to the New York Post, trust fund kid Robert Ritchie, aka Kid Rock, might be dating intellectual Lauren Boebert. They were seen flirting recently at political functions. I'm assuming Ritchie had lots of competition trying to woo the congresswoman after the video of her on a date at a theater went viral. It was probably only a matter of time before these dimwits realized their love of semi-automatic weapons and fell into each other's arms. John Hughes was the king of teenage comedies, pretty much up until his sudden death in 2009. At a recent event in Hollywood, producer Adam Fields says Hughes sent him the initial script for The Breakfast Club as a play that was all set in one classroom. When asked about a potential remake, Fields said he did not think the film could be remade because it is character-driven, whereas everything these days is mostly concept-driven. The Breakfast Club recently celebrated the 40th year since its release. The cast of the Oscar-nominated film Conclave, a film about selecting the new pope after the death of a pope, has a lot on their mind, like a potential Best Picture win at the Oscars this coming weekend after winning the outstanding performance by a cast in a motion picture last Sunday at the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Members of the cast wished real-life Pope Francis well as he has been hospitalized with health issues at 88 years old. Isabella Rossellini said, "We love this Pope and are worried for him. Life imitating art or art imitating life?" If you're headed to the theater this weekend, here's what you have to look forward to. Last Breath is a mystery thriller starring Woody Harrelson where he and his crew of deep-sea divers are forced to brave the dark deep waters to save a fellow crew member. The film is based on a true story. story, but has no reviews in yet, so proceed with caution. My Dead Friend Zoe also opens in wide release. The dark comedy drama tells the story of an Afghanistan army vet who has an odd relationship with her deceased best friend. The cast includes Sonequa Martin-Green, Ed Harris, and Morgan Freeman, and with almost 40 reviews, it's pulling in 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. I have to say, I'm intrigued. No Address also opens this weekend and follows a group of people dealing with homelessness. There are no reviews yet, but the film stars Beverly D'Angelo, William Baldwin, and Lucas Zuman. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy and a little breezy today. I think we may see a bit more sun trying to peek through the clouds this afternoon. Our high, low 40s. Tonight, down to 29. Tomorrow, some light rain or snow showers. Mostly cloudy and very windy. We'll get to 48 around lunchtime, falling into the 30s by late afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
That's your WGBW Daily News Roundup from Civic Media. Subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you find your podcasts. Find more news at WGBW.fm. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.